Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Job, the book of Job, chapter 38. Job chapter 38 this morning. It's right before the book of Psalms. It's fairly easy to find. Chapter 38 in the book of Job. Job 38, and then I'm going to read verses 4 through 7 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Job chapter 38 and beginning at verse 4. Job 38 and verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Let's read that verse 7 together there, please. This is my text. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. One accord with God. One accord with God. Father, I pray you'd bless us this morning and help us. I need your help. I hope that's the prayer of these people that are sitting and listening to me this morning, that they need your help. God, I pray that you'd work in our lives and our hearts today. Let this not be a futile effort and what is done, a waste of time, but God, a challenge, a need, whatever, Father, work in our lives and our hearts, starting with me as the preacher. I need your Holy Spirit power for the task ahead, and I pray the prayer that all people under the sound of my voice this morning would pray that the Holy Spirit would help them be good listeners. Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, doesn't know eternity is theirs, I pray before they leave this room they would settle it. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We'll do something a little different this morning. Why God had me do this, I don't know. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a wrong room full of rockers. Thank you. I don't know why I did this, but God gave me this message back in December when we were singing the Christmas hymns. And I don't know if any of you remembered that. I think Brother Matt was leading the music, and the lady started off playing, and they had to stop and start again. I don't know if you remember, but God just spoke to my heart right there. And I'll be honest with you, I'm stealing this message, and I think it's from Dr. Jack Hiles. But it's not his message, because, first of all, that doesn't work real good. Boy, he was a great preacher. But the thought, this verse came directly to mind, and then I built a message from this verse. You know, creation was wonderful and beautiful in its origin. Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." That's great. Everything. God saw it all. And this is what God is telling Job when Job got a little too big for his britches in explaining why he didn't have any sin and this stuff wasn't caused. And God steps in, and then from the verse 4 on down that we read, this is God talking to Job and saying, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth, big boy?" I don't think he said big boy, but, you know, I added that. God said everything he created By the way, He created it by speaking into existence. Everything He created was complete and beautiful. And literally the Bible says that it was like a song, if you would. It was in complete harmony, and there was a vibrance, a song, a melody with it. And everything created was just in humming together and working together. And it was all put together because God created it and God spoke it into existence. And it was wonderful until a sour note was struck. Sin entered the picture. But our text says this morning in the creation, the morning stars sang together. The morning stars, that phrase literally means everything. All of its original source of the creation sang together. It means that word together means it was united. It was alike. It was with God's will, according to God's will. Because God said, as He said it, and it was done according to the way that God said to do it. That's why there was beautiful music. That's why there was harmony. That's why everything was going. And by the way, it's still true today. When we obey and do what God says, then we're in harmony, or we are united with our God. Genesis chapter 1, it says over and over, and God says, verse 3, the most familiar one, and God said, let there be light. God spoke everything. He didn't build it with His own hands. He literally spoke it into existence. And everything had a beautiful harmony to it. I think of the New Testament verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know the perfect, complete will of God. See, the world offers no harmony with God. What we're desiring from the things of the world is not in harmony with God. It's a disruptive sound. It's not according to the will of God. When we're doing what God says, then our lives, listen to this, now stay with me. When we're doing what God says, then our lives are in harmony with God. I'm going to use a musical illustration this morning to show you this. Ladies, they were supposed to be playing, I think we've figured out, the first Noel. I want you to play together the first Noel the way it should be played and how it is, in harmony and melody and everything. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, that word agreed there says when we walk together, that means they're united alike. That word together is the same word we saw in our text in Amos 3:3. Do me a favor, turn over to not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. 1 John 1:7. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Man, there was a harmony there. Those two were alike. They were working together. They were making beautiful music. And it does something for you. It really encourages you. This is basically what I see. Look at 1 John, right after 2 Peter. 1 John in the Bible. Look at verse, if you would, 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. See, They had a command. That book over there showed them what notes to play, what to do together so that it could produce a sound, a noise that we could hear and that we could enjoy. Would you agree? Yes. Shake your head yes if you're with me today. See, when we live our life by doing what, listen to this statement, when we live our life doing what we want, not doing what God says He wants us to do, We're not in harmony or fellowship with God, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of harmony. Let me use the musical illustration to tell you this again. Now, ladies, I want you to play it as you actually did that December day, this last December. Is that enough? Thank you. That's the same song they played before. They are playing the same song. The instructions were the same, except one little minor detail, and that would be in the minor key, correct? Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. Thank you. One's playing a sharp and one's playing flats. And if you're like me, that doesn't mean one hill of beans. But it did mean something, didn't it? Did you get the illustration this morning? There's our life for the first time they played it through when we walk in fellowship with our God. And that produces a beautiful music. The morning stars sing together. And that's the way our lives should be. We're in harmony with our God and walking with our God and doing what our God wants. But the truth is, most of us live our life doing what we want instead of what God wants in our life, thus producing the illustration that you just heard. Look at you in 1 John, look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many people today in our Christian society. We claim the name of God. We say we love God. But yet we're going around with our life sounding like we heard. And I hope the internet was able to pick up both those sounds over the internet. And if you didn't, I apologize. But we were aware of that. But it did not sound very good. It was horrible. I even had to stop and start again on that December day. It was not good. It was not pleasant. That's the way God looks at our lives when we don't do what God wants us to do in our lives. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Listen to me. That music, if you want to call it that, I guess it was annoying to everyone. The players and the listeners. You're getting it, you know where I'm going, don't you? You know, ladies and gentlemen, when we live our life according to the way we want to live our life, we affect and affect everyone around of us. Not only ourselves as the player, but those that hear us and watch us in our life. Parents, you got little eyes that are watching you, everything you do. They see you come to this church and they see you stand and sit here and listen to a preacher stand up each week and hear him preach on subjects, and then you turn around and you don't do what God said to do. Those little eyes are watching. Seniors, you come to a place in your life, and we have many seniors in our church, and God bless you. You're stable. You're the rock of our church. But there are many eyes, younger eyes, parents and new married couples that are looking up to you. And then they see you. And you're not in harmony. You don't, in song, well, you don't have a harmony. Your life is out of tune to the things of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be in tune with God in our lives and what we do. Because either our life is going to sound like the first illustration we heard, our life is going to sound to God like the second illustration we heard. There's no more excuses. You can justify, rationalize, use every excuse you want to do why you don't think you have to do what God says. I'm talking about to the youngest to the oldest in this room. But when we don't do what God says to do, erase all the excuses, Our lives, if we do, sound like the first illustration, and our life, if we don't, sounds like the second illustration. Which life, which song are you? Only you can answer that question this morning. It's not my job to examine you this morning. My job is to preach to you this morning the Word of God. And I believe from that scripture that we saw in our text, that's exactly what God intended and said. There ought to be some more amens on that because that's true. Now, I'm going to give us two areas that we get out of tune the most with God. But the sermon won't leave when I stop. The message won't stop when I dismiss in prayer. It will. You're going to carry that message out with you today. And you're going to have to decide, am I doing what God says to do? These two simple points and three points that I have with this message, it's not going to stop when you walk out that door. You're going to be producing, you're going to be singing, either in harmony with God, united with God, or you're going to be out of key with God. You are the sermon. You are the message this morning. First area we get out of tune with God, and that's in the area of salvation. Do you know we have a day and an age that we live where everybody has a reason, a way they think that they need to be saved. But God was very clear, and God has a way for us to be saved. God said it. God spoke it. God created it. It's in the hands of God, and it's the way God does it. And Jesus emphasized it in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not Muhammad. It's not Confucius. It's not through some upper level transcendent meditation. It's not that way. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone, ladies and gentlemen. And the real tragedy is we have people sitting in fundamental, independent Baptist churches that think that their righteousness will get them into heaven, but it'll get you nothing but a date with the devil. Nothing that you do or I do can get me to heaven. It was done. Jesus did it all. He hung. He paid. But we must receive Jesus Christ in Him only. Romans 6:23, it says, the gift of God is eternal life. Did you hear what that said? The gift of who? God. Gift of God is what? Eternal life. But it's through Jesus. See, we think we have some part. We think we can do it and take care of it. My friend, the Bible says that our life and our goodness is as filthy rags, just old waste rags. Those things that you have, you men have under the workbench that's got grime and grease. He says, God says, the best you can do is those filthy rags under there. And we want to take that as our trust. What we're going to put our trust in to get us to heaven? No, my friend, we've got to do it God's way. God has a way to be saved, and it's through Jesus Christ. He says in 1 John 5:13, He said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. That's a beautiful song. That's a harmonious song. That's in tune with God and doing salvation God's way. And let me tell you, when you get saved God's way, it's beautiful music. You won't have to be worrying, well, am I saved today or am I not saved? I thought I did this, I thought I did that. Do it God's way. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and it was spoken to existence. He created it, and He created our salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you today, if you're out of tune with God in this matter of salvation, under the sound of my voice, over the internet, CD, whenever it is, listen to me. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you don't have to beg, scream, or anything else. You just need to trust Him as your hope. Invitation will be given in just a minute, and the ladies will begin to play again, hopefully in harmony. and they'll begin to play, and we'll invite those that want to be saved to come. Come down here. We'll have someone take you and show you God's way right from the Bible. How sure can you be? Because that's the only way we know what God has spoken, is through the Word of God today. You say, well, somebody wrote a book here. It's not God's. Well, I know somebody put a pamphlet out. It's not God's. Unless it agrees, get it? Unless it agrees, unless it harmonizes with this book, it is nothing more than a horrible sound. We got the book, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the old devil is fighting so hard against this Bible. He's trying to discredit, disprove it, do anything he can to give us that harmony that we can have of a no-soul salvation. And that's not only that, but there's another area also. And that's the area of sanctification. Big word, it just simply means how we live, how we love, and how we labor. That's what sanctification is. It's how we live our lives, what we're doing with our lives. Is our lives sanctified? In other words, look at our in 1 John there, not our text, but part of our text. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light is God, it's God's Word. If we walk in the light, you got to understand, there's no like me and God are co-pilots. You know the bumper sticker years ago? You don't see it much, but God is my co-pilot. That's not supposed to be the way it is. He's not a co-pilot. When we walk together, when we have harmony together, it is me listening to God and what God tells me to do, not what I justify and rationalize and he'll understand because I'm, and you fill in the blank. It's not that way. A walk with God is, now you walk with your buddy might be okay like that. But a walk with God is you walk along and you listen to what He has to say to you. Oh, there's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more harmonious. There's nothing more relaxing to have soothing music in the relationship with your God. And that comes with sanctification. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, as in creation, when we disobey God, we cause a loss of harmony. Just like Adam and Eve. Don't turn there, but let me read you the verses. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Listen to it. Chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. And by the way, if you don't know, you may not be a meteorologist, but everybody knows when it's the coolest part of any 24-hour period. And it's not at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in Redding, California. I got news for you. But it's in the morning when the dew is on the roses, on the plants. And you step out and you start listening to your God. And there's a harmony there. There's a sweetness, a fellowship. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Listen to this. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Well, now, listen closely. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, just like in creation, sin disturbed the creation that God spoke into existence. Sin destroyed the fellowship with the first man and woman he created. And you know what I'm afraid of? We spend our life hiding in the trees from the presence of the Lord because we don't want to hear what the Lord is trying to tell us. Oh, you come to church, you make it here on Sunday morning. You don't get here in time for Sunday school, but you take Sunday morning. You don't want to hear what God has for you. You seem to think you know it more, just like our friend Job. Yet you don't want to step in and hear what God has to give you and teach you from the Word of God. And God forbid it's Sunday night. I know it's football season, basketball season, golf season. It's always that way. Listen to me, people. Listen closely to Brother Evans. That's why God created DVRs. Okay, let me go on. Except those of you that tell us the scores when we're here, I won't mention anything, but he said, okay. Preacher did that to me the other day on a game. We were riding into church, and it gives me the score. And I said, well, that was good wasted time there, you know. And I love watching it. Why am I off on this? I love watching the DVR because you can go right through all the commercials. Oh, thank God. Tell me this isn't the age of grace. Okay. Now I forgot what I was even talking about. Listen to me. I don't care what excuse you have. But when you're sitting at home on Sunday night, when the Word of God is being preached, you're not playing good music. You're playing the music we heard the second time. I don't care what you say. You can justify it, rationalize it. Well, you know, we had a little runny nose. But you get to work the next day. Okay, I'm going to be nice. Good night. If we had the same crowds on Wednesday night in this church as we had when we had potlucks, we'd be doing great. Sorry. But he knows what he got when he asked me to preach, so that's up to him, you know. I'm afraid many of us, we're afraid just like Adam was when we hear his voice. Because we're not in harmony, in tune, we're not walking with our God as we should be. Now, what's the solution? What's the solution? Look at, you're right there in 1 John. Turn there, would you, 1 John? Look at the verse 9. Look at verse 9. What's the solution to making bad music, not being in harmony? What? Look what it says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We always, at any time, can get our harmony back with God if we'll do what it says there in verse 9, confess. That word confess is a compound Greek word that we put in one word, which is basically compound if you break up the con and the fess. It means to agree with God. They didn't agree when they played that music the second time. It was not agreement. It was not enjoyable. But buddy, the first time they played with it, they confessed. They agreed together. They got it right. And it was beautiful music. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what's in your life, what you're doing that's playing that bad music, God will forgive you of that sin and let you have a walk with God. Listen to me. There's nothing better. My heart bleeds because of some of us in this church. You're just so out of sorts with your God. You come even. You come and you don't have the salvation thing right. You don't have the sanctification, but you still come. I guess you just like being yelled at so much. I don't know what it is, but you come. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, young people, there's a God in heaven that loves us beyond any imagination that will put a beautiful song. Please, please don't kid yourself into thinking God understands your situation. What if that would have happened when the stars and the planets were all created? Please understand, what kind of music do you hear? and to the people around you here. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Please stand to your feet if you would.